I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yeah. You know, and everybody's been asking me, when are you getting that mad as hell guy back on? You know, and I said, listen, we got him on now. How's that? On a Friday morning at 8:30 or so. His name is Brett Harris. You know him well, Harrison Law Group. 1-800-INJURY-LAW, one of the best personal attorneys, injury attorneys in the country. He's been at it 3+ decades. And my very good friend, Mr. Harrison, good to have you finally here. I had to really coax you into coming on.
No, you didn't have to coax. It's just been very busy and hectic. You know, everybody's readjusting their schedule these days, as am I. How are you doing today, Jay?
Feeling good. Did you hear Lee Zeldin? I mean, you know, his name has been thrown out there as far as a gubernatorial run. I know you've been following the soap opera that's been going on up in Albany these days.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just craziness with they're calling people out now. They're making people more accountable like they should be. They have to be careful of their actions, whether it's true or not true. I know over the years the governor Cuomo has been able to overcome anything that's been thrown at him for some reason. This one, I don't know. I think people are just getting frustrated. I don't know. I parts of me like a lot of what Governor Cuomo's done, and other parts, now that things are coming out with the nursing homes and so forth, you know, I'm starting to get a little skeptical on him. How about you, Jay?
Well, you know, listen, I absolutely, in a very good way, embrace the man during the start of the pandemic, flattening of the curve and everything else. I got to be honest with you. It's been tough. We've had him on a lot. It's been very tough trying to figure him out. The way the restrictions, not lessening those restrictions for quite some time, even though levels have been, kind of on the decline. He's been very slow on the switch. Businesses are in deep trouble here. Catering halls, you know, the 50 people max. I mean, how long have we been asking somehow do 50%, you know, 300, 100, and allow 150, you know, even when levels were low?
Look at all these restaurants that have gone out. They can't survive, like you said, on 10 to 25%. You know, and then I look at things like, and I was not a big fan of the way the state of Florida has done things, but their businesses are doing fine. They're thriving. And are their rates any worse than ours?
That's a question that
I wonder.
DeSantis has been very flexible around DeSantis down in Florida. There's no question. And DeSantis and Cuomo had a little thing going back and forth, remember, you know, in the beginning there. Yep. So, you know, how the tables have turned now, right? The way Florida, you know, has an elderly population, second or none. And look how they handled nursing homes as compared to the way the state has. And the state hid the numbers. That's what happened here. So, you know, to me, it's almost like the final straw, because when it's all said and done and these investigations are ongoing, you know, there's going to be some pretty big questions, subpoenas. You heard Howard Zucker yesterday, Dr. Deer in the headlights, Howard Zucker, not being able to answer a question when it comes to this stuff.
But what drives me crazy, Jay, is that there's so many investigations. And it takes forever to get an answer with the subpoenas and, you know, fighting the subpoenas, and then what's considered cooperating with the subpoenas. So it drives me a little bit crazy, and I think people are getting tired of it. I just think people just need to be accountable. Like, how even when you grew up, everything was about accountability, and I think people skirt the issue now. I mean, I think it's even in businesses, too. And it's driving me a little bit crazy. I mean, just think about it. As an attorney, I'm accountable to my client, and I should be. And I think clients should make attorneys accountable, just like you are accountable to your family. They're not interested, Jay, if you make an excuse. They call you out on it. whether it's politically correct the way they call you out on it or not. You know what? I think people should go back to the accountability instead of the blame game. And I think things would be more transparent. It would be acceptable to make an to make a mistake and say, you know what? I'm accountable to you, my constituency, my state, or whatever it is, my town. And you just say, you know what? I made a mistake. We're going to correct it. Let's move on. Let's focus on the solution than hiding the problem and having an investigation. And it really drives me crazy, you know. And even in the law, I see it. A lot of times people switch law firms and they say, well, I can't find my attorney. I thought they had to be accountable. I thought they're supposed to do a job for me. I thought they're supposed to keep me informed. It drives me crazy now, Jay. I don't know if that means I'm like that liberty, like that commercial where you're getting more like your parents as you get older. I don't know.
You're right. Accountability is everything, right? Transparency. We talk about it all the time on this show. If the man would have admitted ownership to the mistake and apologized, he came on on that Monday, he danced. You know, who cares where they died? You don't want to hear that. Come on. They died here. Listen, you made a mistake. Own up to it, and you wouldn't have had as much heat on you right now. I mean, that's the bottom line. Your top aide admitted that the administration hid the numbers because they did not want to feel the wrath. She said that.
But
the fear.
But they had to know, Jay. They had to know that when you're hiding the numbers, it's going to come up. It's going to rear its truthful, ugly head. And now you look worse. You know?
Now look at you. You're scrambling.
Exactly.
You know, admit a mistake.
I almost feel like his theory is if you're going to lie big. And that's just a horrible, horrible way to live.
What you're seeing now is the ramifications of it all. And let's see what happens. You know, but you're right. These investigations take forever. The only good thing is you get the ball rolling and you await as far as what comes out. And quite frankly, did anyone expect Letitia James to come out with a report as she did 4 or 5 Thursdays ago? You know, the fact that she went against her own party affiliate in announcing the undercount. Now, I'm not going to say she doesn't have political aspirations. Maybe a lot of it was catapulted, that information, based on that. But either way, it doesn't matter. Fact is, she came out with the truth. The truth is,
they hid the number of deaths. I think it's great that she came out with the truth. However, did she come out with the truth because she realized she was cornered and didn't have a choice? If she didn't come out with the truth and then it was discovered that she was aware of it and said nothing. So, you know, everybody's always looking for why are they doing it? It's sad that no matter what you do, people are always questioning it. It's just because the way things are set up now.
Question. Red Harrison with us. Harrison Law Group, 1-800 Injury Law. Mad as hell. He doesn't want to take it anymore. You know the deal from Brett years ago. What else rankles you, sir? Go ahead, tell me.
I'll tell you what rankles me. Do you remember growing up and there was the food pyramid, which was a triangle?
Yes.
You know, eat these foods. You realize now they're saying it's too complicated. We got to simplify a triangle? What is happening to us? Are we becoming that ridiculously inability to focus? Imagine trying to simplify a triangle. This is what they're doing. It's amazing. And then the other question is, Jay, and maybe with your learned years and advice, when is it time to say something to a neighbor that still has their Christmas lights on? What do you do?
Now let me ask you, does that really bother you?
Yes, because I have a neighbor that still has his Christmas lights on, It looks like the Chrysler Building, where he has all these crazy lights on. And I have two lights on near my garage that's maybe 600 yards from him. And he says, can you not put those on? It bothers me at night. And I don't even know how he could see it through the trees.
Wow, how about that?
And I wanted to say to him, your house is like the Chrysler Building. You still have your Christmas lights on. I said, are you kidding me? You can't, there's no way you could see these lights.
That's unbelievable. He's after you.
I have something to say. What do you say, Jay? Do you just keep the peace? I shut the lights off. I say nothing. I don't need a problem with a guy like that. But
listen,
I don't know.
You're a good neighbor. He's got his Christmas lights on. You got your garage lights on wherever they are, and they're bothering him. You take care of it, and wow, you're a good neighbor. You know that? You really are a good neighbor. I mean, there's a story. I read a story of this nature regarding somebody with their lights on, and it's really because, you know, I guess they were in tough times and everything else. I don't know the backstory behind it, you know, but I'm just kind of remembering a little bit of. And maybe they're just trying to feel good in tough times. I don't know. Maybe Christmas makes them feel good having the lights on. I mean, I don't know. To me, it wouldn't really bother me. I could care less, you know. But I can understand your point of view a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's just minor things. I guess we're more home too much now. Working from home and so forth. But,
there's no question about it. Brett Harrison with us. I am his therapist during this segment because, quite frankly, he is mad as hell. Underline that a few dozen times, and he can't take it anymore. What are some of the other things out there these days that really kind of get you going?
Let me tell you what I think is some, you know, I have a lot of clients in the personal injury world that they tell me, what's going to happen now with the court? Is my case ever going to get heard? Is it going to take me, instead of the normal long time to resolve a case, is it going to take me even twice as long? Can I ever get into court? Doesn't that hurt me? Well, you know what? I think the courts are doing a pretty good job of figuring out things. They are moving cases. There's a lot of things that are being done virtually now. And the courts are doing a lot of settlement conferences. But the best of things is a lot of mediation and arbitrations are done virtually now to resolve a case. And that's happening more and more because, you know, the insurance companies can't keep, you know, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of cases and never moving them. And they realize, too, that there's an advantage. There's a savings to them as well. And it moves cases. And I'm finding that a lot of the mediations are working. That's where mediation is where you do it. It's being done virtually with a neutral third party. And it's usually anywhere from 2 to 4 hours. And you're doing it from the luxury of your computer and the other, so no one's in the same room. It absolutely saves money for the client and time. And the best thing is when a case is resolved, there's no appeal by the defense firm. You get your money generally within 30 days. So I'm finding that while in the beginning it was very hard to resolve cases, nowadays I think things are starting to move in a positive direction. So I think that is one thing that I'm happy about for injured victims, that there's a way out, there's an end game now, and I think that's important because that's been a big, big concern.
You know, I think part of the worry here is the backlog. You know, I mean, how much backlog can you actually have? And that's why, you know, and we had the story this week where the courts now are kind of loosening it up a little bit. So that's an important situation going on there. But you're right. You know, things have been going along in a virtual sense. You can't have, you know, a million cases that's awaiting decisions and everything else. So, listen, it has to be in play. They've done a nice job with that. So that's a good thing. You know, the only thing I've been critical of as far as the system is the bail reform stuff, you know, because they're more concerned about people who are incarcerated and everything else letting them out because of COVID, you know, which to me doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. Because
yeah, but you know what? What bothers me with that aspect of it, of letting everybody out, is a lot of times these people are being let out, not all, and they just commit another crime and then go back in front of the judge, commit another crime. You know, were these people that were committing crimes concerned about their victims? I don't think so. So, and you're letting out some hardened criminals, too. Now, I'm not talking someone that's just smoking pot or something minor, you know, but, you know, you have people that are robbing, burglary, and so forth. Go in the subway. People are petrified. The people are getting pushed. So much crime out there. It's scary, you know, and the new rules have made it harder for prosecutors because they have to now, as part of the rules, turn over all the witnesses, including confidential informants, with where they live, phone numbers. How many people are going to want to say something if they're worried about their health and safety of themselves and their family? You know, so that's a scary thing. You know, people aren't going to come forward as witnesses if they know their name, information, address, and phone numbers are available to the other side, to the defendant and the defendant attorney. It's a scary process out there.
And no question about it. And, you know, listen, we've stated this a million times. Look how New York City is being run right now, right? I mean, look at the numbers. The numbers are real. You know, you have people retiring. You can't even get recruitment classes in place. Who wants to be a cop these days? People are taking early retirement. Look at the numbers. Look at the murder, the rapes, the burglaries. I mean, everything in general. Everything is risen beyond belief.
One of the reasons people are moving out of the city in the largest amounts. I mean, I have a niece that her lease was up. She lowered her rent from $2,400 or something to that effect to $1,700 in a nicer building with twice the size space, begging her to come there. When is the last time you've seen rates, you know, rent rates are going so down, so reduced in the city? People are leaving.
They're moving out. They're moving to Long Island and they're moving to Connecticut. You know, I mean, that's where they're getting out. They're heading south, too.
People have had it. Florida. So many people are moving to Florida, too, to get the heck out. They had enough.
But listen,
because they're mad.
New York City.
They're mad as hell, okay? They're tired.
They're mad as hell at de Blasio and Cuomo, the way they run that thing into the ground. You know? I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's about accountability and accountability being transparent and honest. And I just don't see it anymore. People are questioning it to such a level now that it's sad. It's really sad, Jay. I'm disturbed about it.
I hear you, my friend. Brett Harrison with us. I got time for one more. Is there anything? I'll take anything from you right now if I can calm the waters somewhat within. So anything that bothers you? I don't want you to leave and go for the weekend and you feel like you didn't bring it up. I want to give you an opportunity.
I will tell you one more thing. What I am happy about, I have been a suffering New York Knicks fan for a long time, and I'm starting to see what, you know, hard work, preparation, and accountability by, look at Thibodeau, the Knicks, the young Knicks are happy to be together. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about the Knicks. I like the direction in which they're going. So that part has calmed the waters for me. I'm a little nervous at being a Jet fan because I still don't know what they're going to do. But otherwise, nothing that bad this week, except for it's all about accountability to me these days, and being open and transparent.
You are spot on with the Knicks, my beloved Knicks, and you know I still can't wrap it around yet. You know I gotta see more. I gotta see more. You know they're 16-17. I want to see, but I like it. I like some of these players. I like it. And you know something,
gritty. They're gritty.
And you know, here's the kicker. No one's really talked about this. You know, the Knicks got rid of Porzingis a couple of years ago, right? So
yep.
Mark Cuban dangled him out there on the training block a couple of days ago. That's how Kristaps Porzingis has portrayed himself down in Big D in Dallas. And the Knicks, by the way, get a couple of draft picks, unprotected first rounders. Be careful. I think Dallas right now in the ninth slot. Keep an eye on that. But you're right. Going back to the old days of Starks and Ewing and Oakley, Wouldn't it be
Xavier
great back?
Daniel, Anthony Mason, another one of my favorites.
We have been long-suffering Knick fans. You know, it seems like a century ago when Pat Riley and Jeff Van Gundy patrolled those sidelines. Those great rivalries, right? Remember the Knicks and the Pacers?
Oh, yeah.
And
Jeff Van Gundy
yeah,
of Alonzo Mourning.
Red Miller, come on. The Garden used to be rocking.
And, you know,
Knicks
and
the
we
Heat.
Gotta give a good, we got to give a good shout-out to Randall on the Knicks for making the All-Stars, you know, and really cleaning, doing as much as he could in the offseason, and you're seeing all the effort, how good he's been as a leader. You know, people were down on him. They wanted to trade him for whatever they can get. Not anymore. Look at him. He's an All-Star. Look at those numbers. What does he get? 10, 11 boards, 22, 23 points, and 4 or 5 assists? Pretty impressive.
You are right. Great point. I would not trade that guy. Keep him. Build around him. You got Quickly now, right? They finally had a decent draft. And we don't even know what Obi-Wan Kenobi is going to be like, Mr. Toppin. So let's see how this team gels. I think the right guy is coaching. So let's see what happens. You know, build again after this year. Build again in the draft. They're going to get some good picks. So let's see what happens,
yeah,
my friend, Mr. You got a lot of draft picks. So let's see how they build the team. Hey, always good catching up. We'll do it again next month. Brett.
Sounds good.
And the great firm at the Harrison Law Group, HLGNY.com, folks. Check out the site. Brett's got two locations, College Point and in Melville, Broad Hollow. Phenomenal at what he does. Whether it be, as I say every morning, sir, car, motorcycle, what else? Construction, dog bite.
Slip and fall, dog bite.
You know, I mean, these are all cases. 1-800-INJURY-LAW. 1-800-INJURY-LAW.
And let's make these insurance company accountable.
That is our key word of this segment. And by the way, the previous segment regarding Congressman Zeldin, no question about it, and talking about what's going on with the state. Have a wonderful weekend, my friend. We'll talk soon. Great job, as always.
Take care, Jay. Good speaking with you. Peace out.